Each month on the Restoration of Home podcast, we're featuring a different rule of life, from hospitality to simplicity to order and stability. We're helping you create more peaceful homes and connected families through focusing on these rules of life. If you would love to learn more and apply them in your family, go to our book page, habitsforasacredhome.com, and you can order our book, Habits for a Sacred Home, that goes through 9 practices from history that can anchor and restore modern families. Included are recipes and study questions, and even a link to create your own family rule of life. We even have some awesome pre-order bonuses, another kind of a book list that you can just take to the library with you, a student planner, some wonderful bonuses that can help you create a more connected family and restored community. Grab your copy of Habits for a Sacred Home in the link in profile. This is Jennifer Pepito with the Restoration Home Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the peaceful path to connected families and restored communities. Today on the show, I am joyfully excited to chat with Ruth Jo Simons. She's the author of so many books and the creator of the beautiful Grace Laced resources. Her watercolor paintings have inspired me for years. And I'm so excited to chat with you today, Ruth, about your new book, Now and Not Yet, and the concept of stewardship. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'd love for the community listening to just kind of get a recap. You're the mom of 6 children. Somehow in the midst of raising these 6 boys, you also started watercolor painting, and that became a business of devotional work and beautiful books and all these amazing paintings that are a part of those resources. How did you educate 6 children? I know that was partly homeschool, partly classical school, in also facilitate or kind of nurture your own gifts in the midst of writing. Like, it's, you are obviously Superwoman.
No, well, girl, I'm so excited about today's topic because it is all about stewardship. It really is. When you say it like that, it sounds like all those things happen all at the same time. And I love being able to tell folks who may not have seen me along the journey to know that there were different seasons for different things, and not everything grew all at once. And certainly there were seasons where I thought, oh my goodness, I feel like, you know, I want to be artistic and I want to be creative. I'm not really sure how that's going to play out. I've got 6 boys at home. They span. I don't have all 6 at home right this minute, but I was raised 6 boys who are currently almost 22 down to almost 11. So there's an 11-year span. And in that decade of time, I was always pregnant, nursing, homeschooling, or supporting my husband, who was a headmaster of a classical Christian, university model school kind of hybrid thing, while pastoring. So there were a lot of things going on. And yet I think what I learned in that season was not to be Superwoman, but to really say, okay, I've been given a set of things to do. I need to prioritize and know what gets my attention most in what season, and to lean into that without a lot of fear and constant FOMO, you know? And that's a hard thing to discern, but certainly served me well in that season to prepare for what was yet to come.
Oh, I love that so much. We're listening to, or we're kind of talking this month in our Restoration Home community and on the podcast about the concept of stewardship. And that was one of the, you know, my book, Habits for a Sacred Home, is all about the rule of Saint Benedict as applied in the lives of women of faith. And so, you know, a concept like stewardship, it means stewarding the things in our home, but it also means stewarding the souls in our home. And I think it is easy when we're in the middle of raising a big family, I have 7 children of my own, to think, oh my gosh, I'll always be changing diapers, and to get a little bit irritated even about that season, thinking that it will never end and these dreams that God's given you will never come to pass. How did you deal with those kind of restless feelings? You know, for me, I just realized the time goes so fast. And so I paced myself, and I'm still pacing myself because my family and God comes first. But I think for some women, it can feel like, oh, if I don't get going now, my opportunity will be gone, especially as we are on social media and seeing how some people are growing so fast.
Exactly. I mean, when you say that, I'm like, I resonate so much with every word you just said, because, and I think that our listeners here, as if the mamas on this, listening to this podcast, will resonate with that feeling of, I want to be all in right where I am with my children. And yet I have all these yearnings and giftings. And then if I even try to stay connected online, I start seeing how other people are using their giftings, and doesn't look like they have healthy homes and feed their kids well and use all their giftings. And we start thinking the ship is going to pass us by. And I think the trap and the lie of the enemy is that somehow we have to strive and secure for ourselves this perfect life where we get to experience every blessing, every fruit we want to see in our lives right this minute. And so we somehow think that we can not only disciple our children, but also cultivate a community or grow a business or, you know, to spend hours and hours crafting or cultivating the craft that we care so much about, whether it's art or writing or whatever it is that your passion is. And so for me, I saw it very clearly that in the season where my littles were quite little, I was also a pastor's wife in that season. And I knew that so much of what I needed to do was to see that the mission field was at my kitchen table. I think I needed to recognize that for all the ways in which I wanted to travel the world and all the ways that I wanted to broadcast. And this was even before, you know, it was before social media really took off, but the thought of like sharing with a wider group of people, the things that God has taught me, I knew that a lot of those things could not happen while stewarding what I was given. Like I knew that I was one person who was given 24 hours a day, and a huge chunk of that day needed to be about resting as well. And so I needed to steward that time. And so part of what I needed to do in that season was just to start small, was to not try to take a big bite out of the entire dream, but to say, okay, what about using the 2 hours during nap time for the littles with my other homeschool children and actually get in some painting time while doing something productive with their homeschooling day. And that's really how Gracelay started. Gracelay's not the blog, but the actual .com where I got to end up, you know, selling my artwork and shipping it around the world, actually started with me saying, I've got about an hour left of this, you know, no baby on my lap moment because he's sleeping and I've got these other homeschool kids who can have some quiet time during this nap time. What can we do together where we would linger long and think on the word and talk and have a discussion while I pull out the paints? And that's literally, Jennifer, how I learned to teach myself how to watercolor because it dried so fast. And so that's a story I'd like to share because I think sometimes we think that, you know, somehow magically some other person has more time than someone else. But I think what we don't realize is so much of big dreams that we see realized in others' lives sometimes are because they chose to have small and humble beginnings that didn't look like anything for a really long time.
I love that so much, Ruth, because it really shows you stewarding the time, you know. And one of the things I'm so grateful about my own journey as a mom is that the first, you know, probably 15 years of our life, we did not have social media. And so we did learn how to bake bread and learn how to garden, and we lived off grid as missionaries, and we did all these exciting adventures that I fear a lot of moms now are missing out on life with their children because they're so often scrolling other people's lives. How do you steward that? And I, you know, this subject comes up so often because even for myself, like I didn't have social media most of my life, but in the last, you know, 10 years or so I have. And so then there's always this pull to, do I create something for my family? Do I sit here and be present with my children? Or do I look at other people's lives? How do you steward that, especially as someone who has an online presence?
Yeah, I think these days, because I actually this is not a hobby anymore, and that I actually am supporting our family financially with this, you know, small business that our family runs, that I really recognize that I have to think of it not as something that just creeps in and out of my day all day long, but that I give it some. I'm not the most disciplined person. So this is not me saying, wow, I do social media from exactly 7 to 8 in the morning. It's not that perfect. I don't want to give that illusion. I just have some boundaries for myself where I recognize that things can wait. I don't have to share. I don't have to write. I don't have to post in the immediate, in real time, that I can experience something and let it be in my mind's eye and in my heart and in my memories for even a week before I sit down to talk about it or share about it or post about it. I think the urgent, the tyranny of the urgent, where we feel like, well, if I don't show it right now, or I don't have a conclusion of what I learned right this minute, then somehow that moment that I can use this content will pass me by. I think that really is a lie. And I think that we would do well to serve every community we hope to cultivate. We do well to serve those people who are willing to stop their scroll for 5 seconds to join you in your world. We'd serve them better if we actually process and live a little, rather than try to, in real time, process and post all at the same time. And so for me, a lot of that means just a really basic things. It means that I don't, it's not a hard and fast rule, but I generally don't have social media be a part of my evening entertainment around my children. I don't try to consume it. I spend time in social media really for work. And so even if I'm consuming, it's consuming with a deliberate purpose in mind. I wrote an appendix for a book that was published through the Gospel Coalition called Social Sanity, in which several authors, leaders, content creators talk about social media. And I wrote a specific appendix about social media as a content creator. And I really came to the point where I had to have a mission statement. I really had to think through, and it changes. It's not like this perfectly posted. I don't have this mission statement on my wall, but I think through specifically, why am I here and what am I trying to get out of it? Am I filled up before I come to social media, or am I going to social media to find some kind of filling? Because that will change the posture in which I use social media. And then secondly, I share probably 99% of everything I ever write or post about has gone through my husband reading it or my child sitting next to me going, yeah, that is how you are. This is what it's like. I want somebody in my everyday life, you know, and sometimes it's my assistant or somebody I work with, but I want that accountability so that I don't live two lives. So those are a couple of things I hold myself to in the daily.
Yeah. Oh, that is so insightful and impressive, really. One of my core values is integrity. And I think it is so important to be living what you're saying. And if you're not living it, don't say it. And so I love that you're so intentional about making sure that what you do say online has been thoughtfully processed. And that's part of that stewardship of your message. And also, I love that you just highlight that there are seasons. You know, the season of small children is so short and they so badly need us to be present. I'm reading a book called The 4 Habits of Joy-Filled People right now. And the authors are saying that it's not so much the trauma or the bad things that happen to our children that causes pain as it is the absence of somebody there to comfort them and process with them. And that is really, you know, in some of the difficulties in my own children's lives, it wasn't that there were any, you know, really bad things happening so much as that, you know, my husband and I were under so much stress in certain seasons that we just weren't present with them for the small bad things. And I also think part of stewardship is recognizing that it's never too late to steward our children's hearts. It's never too late to steward our gifts. Like to think that there's a shelf life on your message is in some ways to have a very small way of thinking, especially as you look at some of the people who have been influential in later life, like Grandma Moses, for one.
And I definitely think that, it's deceiving because on the internet, we all look like we're in the same season of life. We're on these tiny little avatars. We see a profile pic and a 20-year-old can be doing the same kind of work as somebody in their late 40s, but as someone who has six children who are quickly leaving the nest, and I have adult children, and as I come into quickly about to come into my 50s, I recognize that I am definitely somebody who is taking the last 20 years of my life that maybe wasn't super visible. Some of it was very hidden. And I've taken the lessons learned there, and those are now coming and overflowing into public ministry. So what you read from my books, or what you see in my life as a mother, or even the art that I create, I'm not in a frantic rush to try to figure out what to give my followers, my audience, or my readers. I'm tapping into the decades of lessons and things that I've wrestled with that didn't always have a place to be seen publicly. So all that to say, I just think maybe the simplest way to put it is don't underestimate how important it is to have a deep reservoir. Don't underestimate what it is to build day by day, even in seasons that feel maybe unfruitful, or you feel like you've been folding laundry nonstop for days and days. Or as moms, sometimes we think, I just taught my kids this one lesson. We just had a long conversation about how to love one another. Why am I breaking up fights again today? Or I thought we went through this already. Shouldn't we be on the other side of this lesson? And the thing I keep coming back to is now almost 22 years into motherhood, I really recognize that, and I write this very line in one of the chapters of my new book, that your someday is made up of thousands of right nows. And I think I've really lived that, recognizing that this arrival point that we think we're going to get to with our kids, with our homes, with our personal spiritual growth, or with our aspirations and our goals, that someday point that we hope to arrive at isn't something that's just going to magically happen because suddenly we're freed up, or we have enough money, or we have enough time, or somehow we're just now well enough resourced that we can do this thing, but that we actually steward right now, even in the midst of maybe times where we're like, I don't really know if it's all going to work out. I'm not sure if I'm making a difference in my kids' lives, or I'm not sure if painting for 10 minutes during nap time is going to ever amount to anything. But what we do is we start where we are, and we make this moment matter, because it really does compound into a life that you never even knew you were building. And so I feel like I can confidently say so much of what I'm experiencing right now at 48 is that I'm seeing how all those hidden years actually matter and continue to matter now.
Yeah, I love that. One of the premises of my book, Habits for a Sacred Home, is that we have the power to create homes that can bring restoration to culture. You know, and I base that premise on the work of Saint Benedict in, you know, creating a monastery that saved Western civilization, saved scripture. You know, there's a book called The Irish Saved Civilization about how the monastics in Ireland were copying down the sacred writings and the Greek writings. And while the pagans were burning everything, they were copying it down and saved civilization. And then even the work of people like Amy Carmichael or Edith Schaefer, where in the midst of chaos, they created kind of islands of virtue, or places where God and his ways were highlighted. What have you seen as being, you know, the power of stewarding the hearts and minds of your children? Because you've been intentionally between your husband's school and your own work in the home. Like, what are some of the sacred habits that you've cultivated with your family that have helped them have a worldview that's hopeful?
Yeah. You know, this is both an education philosophy as well as maybe just a parenting philosophy in the culture of our own home, is that Troy and I really see ourselves as the primary influence in our kids' lives. We faithfully are involved in a local church, but it's not the church's job to disciple my children. It's not VBS's job. It's not the school. It's not a co-op. And it's not even a mentor. It's ultimately Troy and me it's my job and his job to steward the hearts and the understanding of our children of the gospel. And so if they are to understand who Jesus is and why the gospel matters, it's going to be because they saw it lived out in the hard and the good of our lives. It's because they're going to see it worked out in conflict, in relationships, in our home. So some of our rhythms would be that we choose a lot of conversation. I think I recently posted about our tower of power. We joke about it, but we stack our cell phones anytime we're together. We just stack them in the middle of the table so that we just know, like, this is giving us power to have conversation. We're like not even getting notifications, and they're just sitting there on a tower of cell phones. And we choose a lot of conversation. We linger along in at any meal, and that's really the springboard for a lot of our family meetings and a lot of our what would be considered family worship times or family devotional times really come out of conversation and choosing that rather than having a rhythm of watching a show while we eat or hurrying with a meal so that we can get to something else. We actually feel like a meal and a conversation is like the highlight of our day. And so that's a major rhythm in our family. And it's kind of a, you know, I don't know if it's really a rhythm or if it's just part of our family culture, but we really do choose that. But I think another rhythm that we probably don't even, you know, I'm on the other side where I kind of am recognizing, oh, these are some of the things that we've done through the years and we didn't always realize we were doing them, is that we didn't schedule alone time and dates with our kids. It wasn't so regimented, but we looked for opportunities regularly because when you, and you have seven children, and I have six boys, and it's really easy to see them as a unit. And it's really easy to work, to just go throughout our lives as a unit of eight for the Simons family, rather than think of each child individually and going, okay, I need to really steward that child's heart in a very unique and specific way. So that might mean something as simple as, hey, I'm going to do the dishes with that one child. And so while we're doing the dishes, it's just him and I, and we're going to end up talking about stuff that we didn't expect to talk about before, or it might mean going on an actual dinner date. And so sometimes that becomes a rhythm where we realize stealing some time away, going grocery shopping with just one child will provide some of those opportunities. And then one other rhythm I think we keep is that we try to keep our calendar. Just because it's free and there's nothing on the calendar doesn't mean that there's nothing going on. It's that we've scheduled for nothing, which means a lot of conversation and a lot of concerns and discipleship moments have room to come up. If our calendar's plugged in with something every single day, then there just doesn't make room even for our child to have a perception that there's room to talk about those things that are concerns.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Ruth, because I think sometimes families underestimate even just the power of simple conversations. It's interesting. I just recently interviewed Joy Clarkson, Sally Clarkson's daughter, and she said very much a similar thing, that a lot of what happened in their family was deep conversations. And that's, you know, in so many ways, how Jesus even discipled his disciples is just having conversations and talking together. And so I love that you are creating a sacred home and then having such a big influence on the world through your work. I'm really excited for families to check out your new book, Now and Not Yet. What an encouraging message for us as moms who are so, you know, excited about all the ideas we have and excited to make a difference in the world, and yet also wanting to steward the beautiful life we have as mothers. So thank you so much for your message and your work.
Well, I'm excited for your listeners and for all mamas to get their hands on it, because ultimately I think one of the things that we wrestle with so much is the idea of what do I do right now when I'm not where I want to be? And so I think for mothers, that is our daily question of like, how do I steward today when I'd love to be on the other side of dishes? I'd love to be on the other side of these hard parenting moments. And I'd love to be on the other side of the daily grind. And yet God is so purposeful right this minute, right now. And I love our conversation today, Jennifer, because I really do think that we have an opportunity as women to have conversations with one another that remind each other that God is faithful even now, even if we can't see the fruit of all our hard work, and even if we can't see how it all will turn out, He is still faithful, and we can see evidence of that throughout Scripture and testify as we walk a step ahead of other women and encourage them.
Yeah, so encouraging. So families can find you on Instagram at Ruth Jo Simmons, online at ruthjosimmons.com. And we'll be sure to link the book and your resources in the show notes. I'm really thankful for your faithfulness in stewarding the gifts that God's given you while you also are so intentional about stewarding your family. Thank you, Ruth.